on Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh yes, indeed. Good afternoon. If you're in the Pacific, good evening if you're in the eastern side, if you're in Europe, well, I hope you're in your pajamas and you've got your cocoa. If you're in Australia, good morning. You're up early. And if you're in Hawaii, well, aloha. I don't know where you are. You're probably, who knows? Who knows what, you know, is Hawaii in Pacific time or where are they? Anyway, thank you very much everybody for joining me. It's been a really intense week, and I really kind of feel like I need to do a sort of some kind of debrief as Simon was saying, he's been through a certain amount of transformation, and I have to say that I have too, and what I would also imagine is that everybody else has as well, is that I'm not alone, that this is not just my journey, this is everybody's journey, and in our interactions, it's like, oh, there's Simon over here, and he's fighting this incredible battle, and there's JP, and there's all these, you know, he's dealing with all these things, and that it's like something that's separate from you, but you're here because you're part of this. You're here because people talk to you. You're here because people sometimes, subliminally, will hear you. One of the biggest questions is people have is like, you know, how can I get these people to wake up? You know, Nancy was almost in a panic. Oh, nobody's waking up. Nobody's waking up. It's like, we will, but everybody's got their own battles and in their own lives, whether it just be about an argument with a neighbor that could take a different turn if you take a slightly different attitude. To the disputes people may have with legal systems or all of these things, that we just start taking a slightly different approach that is heart-based. That's where it all goes, and that's where it all comes from. If we take everything to make the heart-based solution, you'll find every dilemma you have, every single dilemma that you will have, is that choice. Is the choice between, is it a love-based solution? Does it belong in your heart? Can that solution live in your heart? Can your future live in your heart? That's the easiest way to describe discernment and discrimination. Sorry, I was just about to say it all backwards. Discernment and discrimination is about asking the question, can I live with this? Can this abide in my heart? And if the answer is no, then you have to let go of it and get over it. So, tonight's show is about deep despair and heartbreak. Like all country and western songs. And yes, meaning compassionate, yes. It's never a good idea to start any conversation with listen up, you idiot. Correct, Vanessa. Absolutely. So, now, I kind of need to look maybe away from the screen a bit, just to kind of get into the creative space a bit. All right, so where do we start? It starts. Let's do a Let's activate the time machine, okay? Now, first of all, we have to press this button here. All right, that's now we're sort of we're all in the same room here. We've all got the we're in the large scale. It's basically the conference room of the TARDIS, and we're all going to go way back. Okay, so we're going to be prepared, right? So we're going back more than a million years. All right, more than 10 million years. Okay, further back, more than 100 million years. All right, this is before humans were on Earth. More than 500 million years. No humans around here. Where are all the humans? I don't know. They're all scattered. Ah, a billion years ago. Ah, here we are. Oh, it's lovely here. Actually, it's beautiful. Hang on. Where's the summer afternoon effect? Let me see if I can find the what it's like to be lovely here. There's sometimes this thing disappears and I can't get it. Hang on. There we go. There we go. Background tracks. There we go. So, birdsong. There we go. Ah, lovely, isn't it? So, yeah. And there we were. The humans, the first humans, arriving in the galaxy. And it was beautiful, and it was paradise, and we were evolving happily in our Eden-like garden. And we were all, higher dimensional humans. This is what we've all been talking about. Now, there are other stories, and there is a bigger picture. There's always a bigger picture. I'm trying to get as far as I can into... from a personal perspective, because we have to go all the way back to the beginning to understand what's going on now. We have to understand why we have these weaknesses that enable us to be so gullible, that enable us to be taken in. We need to learn to be mature. And so what does the teacher do? Sets a puzzle. And so the puzzle was, what happens if one day a great big ship arrives in the sky? And then coming down are a whole bunch coming down from the sky. Not very nice, rather sort of lizardy. We're talking the Vinkala, we're talking the reptilians, we're talking the draconians. And they've been spacefaring, and they came across the AI, and they've been AI produced, and so they're all like kill and maim and everything. And the story goes that they said, we're here to help you. And the Lyrans, who of course were very happy, said, it's all right, I'm good. Fine, don't need that. Yeah, but we got good stuff. We got some drugs and stuff, party. Yeah. And they said, well, it's all right, look, give us a few days. We'll think about it. And due to a limitation in the communication protocols between these two races, the reptilians decided that was a declaration of war. And so the next thing that happened was that four of our sister planets with billions of people were vaporized into space. And because everybody was telepathic, everybody felt that. And it caused an enormous deal of trauma. Start with, and nobody even knew what was going on. Everything happened before we had a chance to figure out what was going on. So, now, somewhere, that in my own past, I felt the loss of something. And I tracked it back, and I tracked it back, and I went all the way back to here. I lost something very precious, and I didn't know I'd lost it. And it was presented to me, and I recognized it. And then I started to feel. And when I started to feel, I started to remember. And what I could feel was a, well, it was a complex, it was layers of blanket of different feelings. Hang on, I quite like being in Lyra. I'm going to keep that one going for a while. Okay. So what I uncovered, well, a few months ago I was looking back into my own personal history, you know, trying to find out why things trigger me. What is this? What the heck is it about? And so I went, hello, hello, a moth has just landed on my hand. Hello, you come to talk. Come to join in the show. Isn't that amazing? He's been flying around all day. Well, I think it's a he. And it's just sitting on my hand. Just in front of me. Anyway. How interesting. So, I'll just let you sit there, Mr. Moth. And, you have your fun. Much better than beating around. Anyway, he's around. He's away. Anyhow. So, I uncovered this feeling that I had from 55 years ago, from just after Wyra was born. Oh. And it was a feeling that was kind of most unlike me in my, you know, as far as my current personality is concerned. It was very unlike me, you know. And the experience I had was I remembered my circumcision. And I remember feeling this. You see, the thing about, you know, being a baby, it's not that you're not any different. It's that you just can't express the same words. But it's the same person looking out the same eyeballs and feeling the same skin. There's no difference. How you felt then, how you feel now, and how you'll feel in 80 years' time will be the same. Because that's you. That, you know, how you experience the world, that's how you feel, that's who you are. So, at that point, I found this memory. And the memory was of thinking to them, thinking out loud, sort of trying to broadcast my thoughts, I will kill you all. And it was a really, you know, very, to me, it was a very cold, disturbed thought. And I thought, this doesn't sound like JP at all. it's not the kind of person that I want to be. Because it was cold and it was murderous. And it was disconnected, but it was like, well, I can understand that somehow, you know. And maybe, what if everybody who is circumcised feels that way when that happens? Imagine that. Imagine that, brothers and sisters. This is not a minimal cut. You know, it's like half of the nerve endings in your body, all there, you know. It's really important. It's really sensitive. It's got everything there. And if you lose it, you feel like something is missing. But you don't know that something is missing. So you just feel this thing. And you don't feel anymore. You numb out the disconnection you feel. So, when I went back there, I discovered, wow, that's an intense feeling. Maybe that's been... How's that been driving my sense? But I realized that, you know, it goes... There's something else. That was a trigger. And so it goes back. And it goes back a billion years. And it goes back all the way to Lyra. Where we were happy. And one day we weren't. One day it was all destroyed. And our brothers were and sisters were killed, and we felt it. We felt their trauma. We felt their pain. We felt the burning. And so, I must have felt something very, very deeply lost. Because I remember this, you know, it's coming back. You know, this, the feeling of having lost something. You know, it's really weird to not know that you haven't lost anything. That you've lost something, but you don't know that it's lost. You don't know that you're, there's a sort of vague sense of incompletion. So, and here we are. Maybe we should, let's see, what does outer space sound like? This is the outer space one, yeah. So a vague sense of incompletion and disconnection from reality. Somehow. And I think, you know, on some levels, that's what they call, psychopathy. Or those other pathies. And I think that's, you know, if you don't catch it, if you don't get into it and heal it, that's what it can become, because it cuts you off from your heart. It literally breaks your heart. So immediately a baby is born, his heart is broken. I'm not wanting to overstate this. It's worse than barbarism, okay? And it's something that the reptilians have been doing. You know, this is, you know, we've been in the war, and the reptilians are currently, they've got their claw around our planet. But this is the end. You know, we're standing up and grabbing hold of the tip of that claw and grabbing them and flipping them over. Because they don't know who they took on. And it has taken us a billion years to get here. But we took them on. That's why we're special. That's why the human race is special. That's why the Lyrans became the Pleiadians. Okay, so what happens is the attack happened. Some were taken. Some were murdered. Some fled through other dimensions. Some fled through time. Some fled through space. Some fled through time and space. And from what I'm figuring out, a group, which I presume that I was part of, went to this cluster called Pleiades, found Taygeta, and founded a planet called Pyra, which is the Pleiadian Lyra, which is around the star Taygeta, which is in the north, the top right of the Pleiades. Interestingly, Tolek comes from Dakote, which is a neighboring planet. So, but let's go back to these feelings, because that's what's really important, you know. Because the history is just like, this is what I'm picking. And I'm reading stories and saying, yeah, that fits with this story. And it's like, but I'm picking it through the feeling of it, because I haven't got a memory of it. And I think, either an enormous memory wipe has happened, so that humanity doesn't remember it, or it's just so terrible that we can't face it. So really tonight what we're going to do is to face the reptilians. Because, well, we already have. It's already done. We don't have to worry about it. There's no trepidation. It's already done. Reptilians have been eating humans for a billion years. And I suppose we've been eating them. Chicken soup. So somehow we've combined each other. So let's go back. Back. The sense that I felt was a sense of great loss. And of... also a sense that we could have done more. We should have known. We didn't do enough. We made mistakes. This guilt for that's what it is, has been overlaying us for a billion years. Overlaying on the guilt. So there's the grief of the loss. And then there's guilt that we should have done more. We could have done better. We could have done not good enough. Never good enough. Doesn't help, you know. It really doesn't. Not good for business. Anyway, so, and then on top of that is, that's where the anger came. And I felt that fire. But I realized that beneath that anger, beneath that rage, probably beneath the terror of it as well, is a tremendous sense of loss and disconnection. And I think really that's where it all begins. And every time we're born and the cord is cut, we are re-triggered into that. Every human birth is a rebirth, is an escape from Lyra. So, here we are, billion years later. We haven't gotten over it because we didn't know it was that we had to get over. But if we can get over this, it leaves us without the weakness that has plagued us. And indeed, if you were to look at it from an even higher dimensional perspective, the reptilians are what we needed to become who we are today, through all the pain. I'm so sorry for everybody. I'm so sorry for all the suffering that everybody's had to suffer. And I can feel it. I can feel it. Because the choice then, as it was 55 years ago, I will kill you all. And realizing that I'd said that, I'd intended that, and we were magical beings, you know, this is not just like, someone in the middle of nowhere. These are, you know, you're like attacking creator gods. And all the trauma that these creator gods suffered has spread out, rippled out throughout the galaxy. So now we are here today in these days to heal all that. But first we need to know and we need to remember and we need to feel it and we need to feel that we were so unfairly attacked. Or so it felt. We were completely taken by surprise. And we haven't really had the time to process it since then. To take a step back. To take a breath. We've been at war ever since. Now we've got the point. Here we are. So there we are. Connecting consciousness. Simon Parks, Reptilian. JP, Pleiadian. Bringing it together. Finding out the truth together. It's the final reconciliation. Same as I was saying with the timelines earlier in Nancy's and Walt's show, that this is the timeline that is combining where the Nazis win and where the Nazis lose. And because they can never win. Because this is a free will universe. And you can't create a non-free will sub-universe in a free will universe because it just won't stick. It's Teflon. It's free will, you know? So anytime anybody makes a free will choice in a non-free will universe, it breaks it. So that's the whole matrix. That's the whole Neo thing. Anyway, but going back to the feelings were of a great loss, of a sense of inadequacy at being able to deal with it. Perhaps there was some pride in that. And I would imagine that there was a bit of, you know, how dare they? And so some ran. Well, we all scattered, you know, we scrammed. Some people went into other dimensions. I don't know what happened to them. Well, I didn't know until a few days ago. Everybody's coming together, you know. There are Lyrans that went to Sirius. There are Lyrans that went to Pleiades. There are Lyrans that went to other dimensions. There are Lyrans that came to Earth. These are the Lemurians. Perhaps a key turning point in the war was the destruction of Maldek, but it caused so much rippling. Hello. It's the moth. It caused so much ripples of time and space and water, and what a mess. It was a, you know, a cock-up of unimaginable proportions. You know, solar system proportions. We got an asteroid belt. You know, they don't have asteroid belts. Asteroid belts is like because we've got bits of blown up planet. It's like dead bodies. It's like, you know, sitting in a place where there's corpses lying around. Anyhow. So, scatter they did. And presumably, we got together. I can't have possibly done this on my own. There must have been many others feeling the same. And we went to Pyra and other places, Era, and started figuring out what we'd do about it. Most people were content to hide, but I believe that this group were, here's my personal feeling, is that the guilt and the grief and the sadness were all covered up in a very, very locked in form into a cold logical anger that basically turned the Pleiades into a kind of mirror reflection of the reptilians. We became as bad as they did. And we're paying for it. So we've displaced a lot of people. You know, they call that collateral damage. You know. So we've got a lot to be sorry for. And if I could say sorry, I'm sorry. But now here we are on the other side of it. And we're starting to understand how to heal it and how we can heal everything. In fact, that's what we've become. Because we've been so hurt, we're so able to heal. We've matured. We've grown up. Childhood's end. When we realize that inside all of us is a raging reptilian. A screaming dinosaur that is just hungry and lonely. Anyway. So that's where I wanted to start. And I'm wondering if anybody's got anything that they want to, right. Okay, so I'm just going to have a quick look at the chat room after this. I'm just trying to kind of just really dump these feelings, express these feelings that I've been going through in the last week and the memories. So essentially, you know, we've been talking about the super soldier program and all that. And essentially, the Pleiadians are super soldiers. That's what we did. We transformed ourselves from Lyrans into Pleiadians. We become much more like reptilian. You know, we became proud. We became arrogant. We became who we hated, who we fought against. And it still rages. The battle is not over yet. And maybe this is the final battle, because the final battle, as I've always said, will happen inside us. And it's what we do. It's how we take our heart energy and send it out. It's magnetic. What can you do with magnets? Well, what can you do with magnets? Well, look at what Nancy and Walt were talking about. It's all about using the energy storage inside the magnets. The heart is a magnetic pump. Sends out ripples. Overlaid with your thought patterns. You sit there in a state of non-judgment. By default, you send out compassion. It's just easy. So easy. And, you know, rather than interrupt someone, you let them finish. That's how easy it is, folks. That is how easy it is to stop wars. No, I'm not kidding. You just let somebody finish. If you I listen to people arguing. I've been listening to people arguing for several years. Well, many years. Everybody, you know, everybody's been listening to people arguing. And you know what starts the argument? Is that when people start interrupting and not letting the other person have their say. And so it's important. And the First Nations recognize this, and they have the talking stick. Yeah? You have the talking stick, everybody be quiet. Everybody be respectful. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're the smallest little child or the eldest chief. You got the stick, you have the floor. I like to think that my shows are like that. There is an element of that in there. Maybe that's a Lyran trait. Maybe we listened a lot more than we spoke. In fact, I get the feeling that we didn't speak much. That came later. But here we are. We have mastered your reptilian language. Yes, we have mastered your reptilian language. Let me just demonstrate if I can. I'll see if I can find it. But there has to be a mastery. And that's, you see, that's the thing about the Lyrans. They're, you know, they call descended masters. You know, they've got to be masterful in something. And it's basically about they can master themselves no matter, you know, if you drop them anywhere, they'll find their way and orient themselves and get themselves into a good place. So, to demonstrate that we have mastered your language, I present this. Apparently, 90% of people can't pronounce this whole poem. After trying the verses, a Frenchman said he'd prefer 6 months of hard labor to reading 6 lines aloud. Let's hear what it sounds like. Dearest creature in creation, study English pronunciation. I will teach you, in my verse, sounds like corpse, core, horse, and worse. I will keep you, Susie, busy. Make your head with heat grow dizzy. Tear in eye, your dress will tear, so shall I, oh, hear my prayer. Just compare heart, beard, and herd, dies and diet, lord and word, sword and sword, retain and Britain, mind the latter how it's written. Now, I surely will not plague you with such words as plaque and ague, but be careful how you speak, say break and stake, but bleak and streak. Cloven, oven, how and low, script, receipt, show, poem and toe. Hear me say, devoid of trickery, daughter, laughter and terpsichore. Typhoid, measles, topsails, aisles, exiles, similes and reviles. Scholar, vicar and cigar, solar, mica, war and far.
One, an enemy, Balmoral. Kitchen, lichen, laundry and laurel. Gertrude, German, wind and mind. Scene, Melpomene and mankind. Billet does not rhyme with ballet. Bouquet, wallet, mallet, chalet. Blood and flood are not like food, nor is mould like should and would. Viscous, viscount, load and broad, toward, to forward, to reward. And your pronunciation's okay when you correctly say croquet. Rounded, wounded, grieve and sieve. Friend and fiend alive and live. Ivy, privy, famous clamour, and enamour rhyme with hammer. River, rival, tomb, bomb, comb. Doll and roll and sum and home. Stranger does not rhyme with anger, neither does devour with clangor. Souls but foul, haunt but aunt. Font, front, won't, want, grand and grant. Shoes, goes, does, now, first say finger, and then say singer, ginger, linger. Real, zeal, mauve, gauze, gouge and gauge. Marriage, foliage, mirage and age. Query does not rhyme with very, nor does fury sound like berry. Dust, lost, post and doth, cloth, loff, job, knob, bosom, transom, oath. Though the differences seem little, we say actual but vittle. Refer does not rhyme with defer, fofa does and zephyr, heifer. Mint, pint, senate and sedate, dull, bull and George ate late. Scenic, Arabic, Pacific, science, conscience, scientific. Liberty, library, heave and heaven. Rachel, ache, moustache, 11. We say hallowed but allowed. People, leopard, toad but vowed. Mark the differences, moreover, between mover, cubber, clover. Leeches, breeches, wise, precise. Chalice but police and lice. Camel, constable, unstable. Principal, disciple, label. Petal, panel and canal. Wait, surprise, plat, promise, pal. Worm and storm. Chaise, chaos, chair. Senator, spectator, mayor. Tour, but hour and sucker, four. Gas, alas, and Arkansas. See, idea, career, area. Psalm, Maria, but malaria. Youth, south, southern, cleanse and clean. Doctrine, turpentine, marine. Compare alien with Italian. Dandelion and battalion. Sally with Ali, yeah, yeah. I, way and key. Say a verb at ever, fever, neither, leisure, skein, deceiver. Heron, granary, canary, crevice and device and airy. Face but preface, not efface. Phlegm, phlegmatic, ass, glass, base. Large but target, gin, give, verging. Ought, out, joust and scour, scourging. Ear but earn and wear and tear, do not rhyme with hear but air. Seven is right, but so is even. Hyphen, roughen, nephew, Stephen. Monkey, donkey, Turk and jerk. Ask, grasp, wasp and cork and work. Pronunciation, think of psyche, is a paling stout and spiky. Won't it make you lose your wits, writing groats and saying grits? It's a dark abyss or tunnel, strewn with stone, stowed, solace, gunnel. Islington and Isle of Wight, housewife, verdict and indict. Finally, which rhymes with enough? Though, through, plough, or dough, or cough. Hiccup has the sound of cup. My advice is to give up. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Okay, yeah, welcome back. Yeah, I was just reading. I can actually play that tune on the guitar, so I may do another version of it. I just threw it together, and as I usually do, I just read the thing out and, you know, pull out any verbal typos and throw a piece of music at it, and it usually fits. It's one of my favorite tunes that I took on, you know, I've arranged for the guitar rather than on the piano. That's Nocien number one in the key of F minor, if I'm correct. Yeah. So,
Well, I'm, topic of conflict resolution. I think we need to work on the trauma first, not about the conflict. The conflict is not the point. The point is that we were traumatized, they didn't know what they were getting into either. The reptilians had no idea who they were taking on. You know, most of the people they'd found were quite happy to be, or, well, not quite, you wouldn't say quite happy, but they were much more easily assimilated. Humans, on the other hand, as you see throughout the history of all adventure novels, humans, very difficult to hurt, very difficult to destroy, kind of thing. You know, even if you tried to get rid of us all, one of us will survive and restart the whole, well, a couple of us really, obviously, and restart the whole thing. And that's really, they didn't really get that. And they didn't understand our higher dimensionality, which gives us infinite resourcefulness, which probably really annoys the buggery out of them. I mean, really. So I would like to offer the talking stick to those of us who do remember this feeling, because I want to go back to this feeling and I want to be able to find the heart of us. To bring the heart together. Now, it's very interesting. I was talking with someone the other day that, we were talking about the totem animals and on Facebook the other day, and people said, you know, oh, JP, what's your totem animal? I bet it's the wolf, you know, and I'm like, no, that's not me. No, I'm not a wolf. I was driving through the woods one day on the way home when I lived in the woods, and because I live in a farm now. I don't live in the woods anymore. But anyway, I was driving through the woods one day and I just kind of had this very idle thought. I wonder what my totem animal is. You know, it was just like, what is it, 12 years ago. And I turned the corner and in my headlights stood, facing me, was this magnificent, fully antlered stag. And I thought, oh, right. Okay. Thank you. And it really makes it, you know, to me, if you think about exactly what I do, here I am. I've got my headphones on and my headphones are connected to this antenna. The stag's horns are the antenna. They're not weapons. You know, what a useless weapon that would be. If I wanted a weapon, I'd have a dagger in the middle of my head. All right. Like a unicorn. That's what, if I wanted a weapon, I wouldn't have stupid furry horns that can transmit on multiple frequency, broadband waveguides. You know, I wouldn't, they're not for hurting things. Ah, oh, God, people get a grip. Anyway, so they're antennas. antlers, people. Antlers. Right. If you want to call it, look, go to Wolf Spirit Radio and you'll see the thing. There's a Skype thing and there's, you know, you can call in with people. I really want to discuss the Lyran hidden memory. Well, cause, you know, whether you come from here, there, or everywhere, you know, whether you come from, if you're human, what Simon calls the higher human, and you come to this earth, it means you come from one of these places. But we all, in the end, in the beginning, came from Lyra. We're all Lyrans, and we've all been through this enormous trauma. Some got captured. There's not a happy story. Very, very unhappy story. Maybe another time. But I imagine you'd get the picture. I imagine you've seen the science fiction films. You know? And what they realized, those Lyrans who were in it, realized they had to jump into the teeth of the shark. In order, the only way out is through. They had to go through the whole thing. And so they came out as twisted as the Pleiadians. And behind the scenes, we set against each other. They're our brothers and sisters with programming. It's disgusting. It's sneaky. You know, it is dishonorable by their own. It's dishonorable. Anyway. Sorry, I'm a little upset about that. But so there's the Pleiadians went into the future. Far into the future. The Pleiadians came a billion years into the future, which is about 800 years in our personal future, our current future. You gotta understand, this whole timeline thing, it's really complex. Right? Because people have taken diagonal lines across time. You know, and they leave a kind of great big groove where they went. Scrape through it. And, you know, people fall onto the timeline because there's a great big groove in the time-space continuum. Gathers all sorts of detritus. So Pleiadians went 800 or a billion years in the future and trained and then came back in time and did missions. And one of these missions was to destroy the outpost on Maldek. Now, I would love, I tell you, the best guy who knows the most about that is Wyn Keach. And if anybody can grab him, get him on air, if you can see him on air, and anybody's listening, who knows Wyn. Is to get him to describe the perspective of, the attack on Maldek. So yeah, that's the story that Simon was talking about with the relevant to Ender's Game. Cause the science fiction is, I want to talk about some of this cause I've been watching sci-fi since I was a kid. As we all have, and it's all, and piecing it all together, and understanding now, all those little pieces were metaphors for this thing, you know, Star Wars, alright? So Star Wars, one metaphor is Alderaan being destroyed, alright? And you see Princess Leia, and it's like, she's kicked in the stomach, because she feels all her people dying. She can feel it. Her antennae are coiled up around the side of her head, by the way. And they keep your ears warm in the winter. So. We see in sci-fi. So we go back to the series Babylon 5, which, you know, at the time, the first time I saw Babylon 5, when, you know, when was it, just in the middle of the 90s, but I think I was having a baby then and being a parent, and I didn't have chance to kind of clue into it, really. And it seemed a bit, there was a sort of slightly annoying John Wayne-iness about it that annoyed me in some strange way that caused me not to watch it. But I caught up with it. When was it? Well, what happened? That's funny. We have a charity shop. You know, one of these, a cheap shop. Not charity shop, but they still sell. And they had videos, and that was when we all had video players. And I was always looking for sci-fi. And I found this, you know, oh, look, videotapes of this series. And, like, there were loads of all the different episodes of the series. So I, you know, bought a few every week and built up a big library of them. I got them in a box somewhere. I haven't got a player anymore. Anyway, this was Babylon 5. And in Babylon 5, there are stories that fit these pictures. Okay, so the first thing is that there's a misunderstanding between the Earth humans and this higher dimensional race, or the higher evolved race called the Minbari. And the Minbari way is to open the gun ports to show how to show how open we are with our weapons. You know, this is how we are. You know, whereas it was misunderstood to be like, firing weapon, they're loading their weapons, Captain. Okay, fire. You know, and thus began the war. And the ship that was fired upon had their great leader on it. And so they were, although they were very kind of cool and monastic, when they were attacked, or so they thought was an attack, but like what they did had provoked the attack. You know, that's what happens when you respond too quickly without consideration. So that's a complete metaphor for the Lyran Wars, or the first Lyran attack. And so, and again, the war in the TV series lasts 10 years. You know, this war has lasted a billion years, and everybody's tired, everybody's fed up. You know, and we could do better things. You can do much better things than be at war all the time. So, petulance with no boundaries. Ah, yes, Metis is Q. That's a good thought. Look, does anybody want to talk about this? Anyway, I'm going to put on a tune. Maybe somebody can come back with me. Yeah. I think this is a good one. Let me just check this tune. This is, a Kruder and Dorfmeister. Let me just, I just want to make sure it's not, oh yeah, yeah, it's a cool one. All right. So, cause there was one that has also, you know, it's not very nice, but, this is Kruder and Dorfmeister with the Bomb the Base Bug Powder. Oh yes, spread that bug powder. There's a buzzing sound. Right, okay. Welcome back, everybody, to Ever Beyond. This is midnight at UK and 1600 PST. So, we've been talking about Lyra and about the Lyran Wars and where it all started. Now, the main thing, what I want to get to, is that we've all forgotten this. And this is our birth trauma beyond birth traumas. This is why every time we have a birth, we have the same trauma. We feel cut off. We feel separated from that which we are part of. Now you understand what it is that we were cut off from. And so I'm asking, does anybody feel that? Because if we can feel that, we can move through that. Because now we know what it is. And it will no longer be a triggerable weakness that the human race has, because that's what the problem is. All the way back, we get triggered so easily because we've been traumatized so many times. So we have one caller so far.
Uh-huh.
That's you. This is Lisa. Hello, Lisa.
Hello. I wanted to comment regarding Lyra and the war that happened where they blew up the Stargate on D12. It was Lyra Aramatena, from what I recall. And the Royal House of Aven went with into the Black Sun Matrix.
All right, now hang on a second. Is this your memory, or is this Ashiana Dean's interpretation?
This is the planet I remember. I remember commenting to you a few months ago that this was, I remember that my partner was killed in the attacks.
Keep going.
And there is D12 Stargate on Earth that goes, it's in France. Montsegur, France, but, and that also has a lot of trauma from the Cathars who were killed.
Yeah, I think I was there too. It's a repeating, I was going to say performance, it's a repeating trauma that keeps going on and on and on because we don't see the original one. And we're all we're given right now the opportunity to heal all of it. Right now.
Exactly.
This week. This week we can give it all up. We can give, you know, people who have been subjected to Nazi programming can lift it straight off this week. We've got a big wave and you have to allow the love into your heart.
Right.
And the whole thing about forgiveness and understanding and getting the bigger picture. It's not you and me or us and them. It's a whole big thing.
It's overcoming the duality.
So, we're joined by Eric Code 701. Who's that? Where are you?
Well, this is Patrick, JP. Thank you so much for the show.
Hi, Patrick. How are you doing?
Overall, feels so good. But man, what you're sharing about the childhood and circumcision, man, did that hit a note.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just so fascinating how these things come together. And it's like over the last 4 years, it's weird. I've been working on addictions and traumas, and I had no idea where they came from. It's just like this crazy stuff inside the system that I just was totally unaware of where it's coming from. And it's almost like as awareness kind of grew, it's like, well, there's something inside. And I was watching a Stephen Molyneux about peaceful parenting, and he's going over this, and, you know, they show a circumcision and the child going in and out of consciousness. And I'm thinking, here's this little baby, and they're brought into the world like this. And you just think of the trauma they go through and the subconscious anger they feel and how that just gets rooted in there and you don't even know it's there.
Absolutely. And I think somebody's got a radio on in the background. There's some talking in the background. Yeah, absolutely. It's completely, and this is the worst thing. And this is where it happens. This is the bleeding edge of it, if you excuse the pun, is that it's minimized. Oh, it's tradition.
Yes.
Oh, women get it done in Africa. So what are you complaining about? You know.
Yes.
What the? Excuse me? You know, yes, that's terrible, but you know, that two terribles doesn't make a better. Doesn't,
yes.
You know, it's they're both really terrible. Both of them.
Well, and also you're brought into this world not even like, oh, this is just normal. Everybody does it.
Yeah,
like,
I did it to my kids.
And so you don't know where it comes from. You don't even know why you feel so much rage or craziness. You have no idea because you're just, oh. And I was, 10 years old and I remember asking my dad, you know, I'm like, I didn't even know I had a circumcision. He's like, oh no, that's that mark there. And you're like, oh my, I didn't even know this. What, you know, And again, I don't want to say regress. It's almost like I just try to put myself into what it would be like to be a kid in that, you know, you come out of the womb, you get spanked so hard. Maybe, and for myself, you come out of a womb where your mom is smoking cigarettes that have all this garbage in it. So you suffocate yourself. You come out, you get spanked, you're premature, and then you get thrown in a plastic box for 4 days without touch, and you're like, well, no wonder why there's split personalities going on. And I don't mean split personalities in the sense that they manifest in actual split personalities, but the energy of them where you find yourself doing things that you're like, you don't even really know you're doing, you know, and you're just trying to keep everything together and be a good person. And like you said, you're so busy with life, you don't even know where to go to heal it. It's just this underlying angst and anxiety and intensity that you don't even know is there. And no one ever tells you about it.
Exactly. It's that gray blanket, that gray mist, what they call the mystery, you know, that misty stuff. That's what Simon was talking about. That's that reptilian blanket. That's the shadow on our soul that prevents us from seeing the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it, you know? And so today let's pierce that. Let's see if we can connect as many as we can. You know, if you like, so here's the thing is that I've been through the grieving of it. I pulled myself through that grieving. I used my own technique on myself. And I just sat there and I just reconnected with that part of me who was still grieving, that had never managed to actually do the proper grieving for the loss of Lyra, because I didn't know what it felt like. Okay. But here's an opportunity. If you've had some kind of mutilation, if you had some kind of birth trauma, you're feeling it. You're feeling your part of the Lyran attack. So all you need to do, you don't need to remember a billion years. It's in your life, less than 60 years ago, 70 years ago, you know, however old you are, whatever it was. Whenever you came here, that was your experience of Lyra. Consider that. All right. So everybody, just take a deep breath in. Okay. And then tune in. You can feel it in your body. Tune in to that sense of being disconnected, of losing something, of having something that you had taken away from you. And that's not hard to remember. I'm sure some, you know, everybody feels that sometime, you know. Breathe into that feeling. And then you can remember the first time you ever had that feeling, which is right when you were born. Because all the love and the warmth suddenly became cold, violent, harsh. The only thing that was warm at all and soft was the blanket, the little soft towel that they put you on. Then they would rub you with it. Ow. And then you eventually confuse that with love. Anyway, long story. So we go back and we feel that pain, right? We feel that disconnection. And take a deep breath in. Take it in through the nose and you can feel it. And if you breathe it out through the mouth, it just reduces a little bit. There's a pressure that drops. And we do that a couple more times and you get to feel it and you get to feel, and you can then remember what it was that you lost. And what you lost was the wordless ability to be in that beautiful, loving, paradisical space with your brothers and sisters. That's what we lost.
We lost our innocence.
Exactly. So now, we return to the innocence. You know, we get the innocence back with a layer of cognizance or something. Our task is to become playful once again. Now that's hard because, you know, it's like, how can we play after a war? But you know, as soon as a conflict starts and you get a few kids, you know, yeah. they'll make games with the bricks, you know. They'll play with everything. That's what humans are like. That's what we're like. That's what Lyrans are like. We're creator gods. Smashed into smithereens. Each one growing into a known individual new creator god. With reptilian and Pleiadian and Lyran all plus everything else. All jumbled together, all somehow making some amazing whole. And that's what we are. That's where we're going. That's what the ascended human is. And that ascended human has the DNA strand, which they call the metagene, which is like the chairman of the board, which says, okay, everybody, listen up. If we all concentrate all at the same time on the same thing, guess what's going to happen? Right? And so everybody's like, oh, right, okay. And that's a focused human being. And I hope that on my radio station and on my shows, the examples of those, I was going to say conjugated beings, everything's working. It's like a well-oiled V12 engine. just everything's so, this beautiful linkage that's all connecting to the other, and it's all vibrating and pulsing and energized. You see, we're all going to be radio stations. We're all going to be broadcasters. We're all going to be radioactive. Whether you're on a physical radio station like this, or, well, actually, this is a virtual radio station, for God's sake. This is an internet radio, which is not really radio, because we're not really radiating anything. We're just sending bits and streams. But like, let's not split hairs here. Because I've got few enough of them already. Which is another thing. I don't want to have any of this baldness stuff anymore. I'll see what happens. And I want better teeth. The English teeth are useless. I want American teeth. Wouldn't it be great to have I want American teeth. I want, yes, maybe African legs, and, Russian biceps.
Yeah.
There we go. How about that? I'm sure, actually, that's the super soldier program. it's Frankenstein. Yeah. All right. I have one of those fibers. Yeah. So there we go. Comments.
I know that water is programmable, and do you think that with all the epigenetic trauma that we've had through the generations, do you think that we can program ourselves into healing since we're primarily made up of water?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's very, very simple. In fact, Nancy was talking about on the last program that she put on Shungite into her system, and it not only affected her system and those downstream, as you'd expect downstream, but those upstream from the water. So water has a conjugation I said it again. Today's the day of conjugation. That's going to have to be the thing. Anyway, of bringing together, and what's that word, like structured water does? What's the word for structured water? I can't remember it. Anyway, it does the same thing. Confluent. It's like a laser. You know, everything's like, if you can get things working like lasers, you know, like sunlight or something like that, it's very efficient. It's not scattered. Focused. It's all about being focused and coherent. There's the word. Thank you, brain. So I had this little secretary running up with a piece of paper. Oh yes, thank you very much. Coherent. And if we can become mentally coherent, unlike this person, if we can become mentally coherent, we can get to a point of creating reality in front of us. You know, because look how scattered we are and what we're doing. How we're able to manifest. Now, imagine if we weren't as scattered as we were more focused, how much more we could manifest, you see? So the thing is, we need to uncover the traumas that we don't know that we don't have, that we don't know that we have, and remember the things that we've forgotten that we've forgotten, which I believe is this enormous disconnection between our brothers, and we need to grieve for it collectively. We need to find our traumatized selves in the void, hold them close to us, and merge with them. Now I can actually feel 3 or 4 of that actually just happened there.
Yeah, I thought of 3 specifically.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you pull yourself into your higher dimensional reality. And so, you know, welcome everybody. You can listen to this over and again, and eventually it'll get there. You'll connect, and this will light up your streams, light up those strands of DNA. Because what we have to do is the reptilian has to forgive the Pleiadian, and the Pleiadian has to forgive the reptilian. So, on behalf of the Pleiadians, I love you, and I'm sorry. And please forgive us. And thank you.
On behalf of the Third Reich, I'm sorry. And please forgive us from the bottom of my heart. Something I've been carrying, and it's been really hard to heal that.
Time for a break. No, not that one. Maybe that.
Welcome back to Ever Beyond. So, a little moment there. We have another guest. Good evening. Who's that and where are you at?
Hi, JP. It's me, Nora.
Hey, you, Nora.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
I'm very good. Magnificent. Nothing.
Good, good.
Beyond magnificent. Anyhow.
Lovely.
So, you heard the stories.
I have. They were very touching.
So, yeah. So, it's about releasing all the bonds and all the bad decisions that we made, you know. whatever we've chosen in the past that gets us to this place that afflicts us all, you know. None of us get out of here alive, and hardly of us have arrived here in more or less one piece. You know, some of us have bits missing. Some of us have a lot missing. Some of us have had bits put back. Some of us have got things stuck in. You know, there's all sorts of bits and pieces that we're all
That's
at.
True.
And some of those shards are also shards of resentment and hatred and pride and arrogance, and they have to go. The energy of why should I becomes I should.
Or why me?
Because me.
Yeah. That's true.
Because the more you go back into your history, the more you realize, oh, I see. These films that I'm seeing, they're not just about somebody else. They're about me, and they're about you, because we're all descendants of these beings who are like, you know, a thousand of us combined.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Something that I'd like to add that I find a little interesting, the synchronicity of, or the trending, as Nancy calls it, that in, I think it 2 consecutive days almost, I think, yeah. Talking about the reptilians, there was the program yesterday on Say What, and they were talking about this lawyer lady, and it was brought up also today on Simon Says, about her changing the contract and practically speaking for humanity. And, you know, to kind of tell the reptilians to leave. And then Simon also spoke about what he found out with Daddy. It seems like something is really happening with the whole reptilian situation or relationship. Because I had my own little quarrel with them a couple of days ago. And I had no idea this was happening. Because that happened to me, and then I heard these programs. I mean, I heard what was said in the programs. So I found it quite interesting. And I think Simon was mentioned, was it Simon? I'm not sure, that practically this is the period where actually things are really changing, and the contract is broken between us and them.
That's right.
So, yeah. It shocked me quite a bit, because I had no idea this was happening, and I did it all on my own, and I just found out about it the next day. So I practically gave it to them, because I discovered something that has been haunting me all my life since I was, 5. It was a huge, traumatic control that I've been subjected to. And, I've kept it to myself all my life. And I felt extreme amounts of shame, pain, and it's something I couldn't help. And when I finally found out that it was not me, because I thought it was me, and then I would think, but it's so against what I believe in. It's not me. It's just not the way I would behave. It's mental stuff. It's things in my mind. And when I finally realized that it wasn't me, there was a huge relief, and I was able to face it, and I was able to talk about it openly to close friends. And that's, I think, part of the healing process, being able to let it out in the open and sharing with people. So yeah, it's a very difficult subject for me still.
Lisa?
Thank you, Nora. I really agree with that. It wasn't me, in certain situations in the past, and, learning to forgive yourself, coming to the realization that these, circumstances happen that were out of your control, and learning now to be in control and to revoke contracts and to be empowered and sovereign. I think personally I'm slowly coming into that.
Yeah. It's a powerful feeling. It's like everything is starting to make sense. Finally.
I like it when things make sense. Actually, did I miss your name, gentleman caller?
It's Patrick.
Patrick. I did miss you. Yeah, you did tell me and I forgot. I'm sorry, Patrick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so go ahead. What are your feelings as we've, you know, we've been talking about this over the last few minutes?
I'm still doing your breathing technique.
So the
nose,
feelings,
the mouth.
Yeah, the feelings are intense. Yeah.
I've been working on it for, you know, it's, you're giving new skills and skill sets to work on. I've been doing, you know, I came to this realization and I've been doing my own work in many different ways, but it's what I keep finding is that we get new tools. And I also think, you know, just feeling understood. And when you first shared it, you know, it's just like these clicks happen where it's like, oh my goodness. When it's like, I was starting to know this, but then when you shared it, today, it's just the levels, the, how deep it goes. And the power that we have to change it is, it's breathtaking for me. But yeah, there's no question. It's like the parts of our subconscious that we're not even aware of that are so deeply traumatized, especially at such a young, vulnerable age. When we trust our, we come into this world possibly trusting those who we think love us, and then how we attract relationships that are so symbolic of what we've been brought through, and just really. Finding a way to bring so much love to each of these. So I'm actually feeling immense gratitude. And these last 3 weeks, it's been fascinating because I've been working on this and I've had a lot of sadness these last few weeks when I study and I learn and I study and I learn and I see what us humans are doing to other humans. And it just, you know, it breaks my heart. And it's like finding these balances of knowing what's going on and not wanting to be in the dark anymore. And yet, it just hurts, and finding new techniques to work with that as skillfully as possible.
Well, you know, as I said, sorry, Lisa, go ahead.
I think what Alex Collier had said a few times. He said, when things get crazy here on Earth, you have to go into observer mode. Just rise above it and just observe and not try to take anything in. Because
not react.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing. They have an intention to break our heart. Just remember that. That they're going to do it no matter what. So stop being surprised and realize that that's the shock. You need to remember that we were surprised, and humans are always traumatized by surprise. It's funny, but it's not. Because we were shocked. We are absolutely shocked that we were attacked by the reptilians. We thought that they would just listen to us and come back in a few weeks or a couple of days or something, and, you know, but no. Imagine what a shock that's going to be. It's going to be grief and it's going to be shock. And there's all these layers that are so intertwined that we can't figure out what they were. And this is what they were, brothers and sisters. We were surprised and we haven't gotten over it. We were shocked and we haven't gotten over it. And once we do, we won't be shocked by them. We'll be like, are you kidding?
Again?
Yeah. And again and again and again.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because really, once you get it, they only have one trick. They're a one-trick pony, one-trick lizard. So, comments?
I guess the first achievement is to realize it. Before healing, obviously, you have to realize what happened. And that's where your power comes in. Because when you have the aha factor, like, oh, wow, so this is what's happening. This is what happened. And then when you look at that and you kind of revise your whole life and you see the patterns, because every one of us has a pattern, and it starts to make sense. As you said, so when it starts to make sense, that's when you can start to heal, because you look at it not from the perspective of the person who is experiencing it only, but observing it as well. It makes sense. So that's kind of my experience. Obviously, I'm still at the beginning, because this all has happened this week.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Because we need to get to understand this, right? So there's Greenheart in the chat room saying, oh yeah, well, I went to boarding school. And I'm thinking, well, perhaps in this period, you were in the reptilian concentration camps. And that boarding school was a reflection in a small nano version of that life, the lifetime after lifetime, day after day, every day was a new lifetime of being in that same place. The boredom, the ennui, the oppression. Just like being in a reptilian controlled universe. Yeah. So we've all felt it. These are not abstract. These are so real that we feel them every day and we don't know. And when we do know, we can then say, that's why I'm here. Cause I want to know and I want to heal it and I want to become whole again. And to become whole again, you have to realize that you're a Lyran. We're all Lyran. And if we go back into the inner core of ourselves, right to the root of the tree, we're all Lyran. And that's why we're all brothers and sisters. And now we've got some more cousins, because we've got the Lyrans who were taken, who were modified, genetically modified, AI, Borg stuff. You know, they're all here, even on this call. So here's where the healing happens. This is where we all come back together. And remember that we all loved ourselves, that we all loved each other a long, long time ago, and that we've been set against each other by this negative entity. And we need to remember all that, because they're snakes. They're bloody snakes, and you can't bloody trust a bloody snake. But a snake can be useful sometimes. don't know when. You know, maybe
a little bit of the venom.
Yeah, a little bit of venom can be a medicine in tiny, tiny quantities. You know, that's the thing. Snakes are all right in very, very small quantities. Like tiny, tiny snakes are all right. Yeah, little baby snakes. Baby snakes. Look around. There's a couple right near me. So we have this snake in our body. It's our spine. Our spine is our snake. You know, that's how close it is. Snake with angel wings. So we move forward, but we need to know why we're held in the past. And so we need to go back to the root of the tree and find that lyran. Okay, so now what we're going to do is a scaled up version of the personal version. Okay, so if everybody can come back and take a deep breath in through their nose and take a deep breath out through their mouth. Take another deep breath in through your nose. Bigger one this time. And deep breath out through your mouth. And we go back the tree. We go back down the twig, down the branch, down to the heavy branches, to the trunk, to the root, to the point where the seed was. And that's Lyra. That's where we're all one. And you're standing there in front of you, a version of you that is innocent, that is playful like a child, is sensitive like a child, and has been shocked so deeply. It's confused and disoriented. And I want you to reach out to that version of you there. Take that person. Hold them. Hug them. Show them how amazing today's world is. Show them how we've defeated our inner reptilian. Say, I love you. And I'm sorry that you had to go through this. But we had to get here. Because without this, we could not be the gods that they said we would be. We would not know. Please forgive us. We broke your innocence. And it was very painful. But you had to grow up. Please forgive us. Thank you for starting it. Thank you for being the Lyrans who came into this galaxy. For we're now gods. Not in a egotistical way, but we can create without hindrance. Because we know the consequences of succumbing to desire. We know the consequences of not listening. We know the consequences of arrogance, of superiority. Now we know right down to the end what those things feel like. So can we have enough of that? Is that enough now? Do you get it? And we have the end of this and the beginning of something better.
I saw a bridge that formed between me and that aspect of me and Lyra from long ago that was still there for some reason, holding a guardianship position and saying it was okay and it was time. I feel connected more, but in a positive way.
I'm getting a physical reaction. Pain, in my legs and my arms.
Could be the releasing of old trauma.
Yeah. I've been feeling this for the past few days.
Oh.
She accepts it. There's no problem with the vision.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot of trauma. A lot of mind control.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
So look at these things like public schools and, you know, boarding schools and those regimes. All those things, they're draconian, you know. People talk about draconian measures, you know. If you've been involved in any government situation, there you are. That's how you get here. Okay, so we've got Pleiadian super soldiers. We've got
Aldebaran.
The Aldebarans. We've got, so here's this thing, right? What's this group? What is the group of the people who escaped finally from Lyra through being captured? Did they ever form a colony? Or did everybody become completely so fragmented that they could never get together again? Because these are the humans, the Lyrans, who have been through the mincing machine. You remember the wall? We don't need no education. That mincing machine. Yeah. I mean, that image must have really struck some people. That, you know, it almost is a literal thing. I'd say probably in some places, in some past time, it was literal thing. Anyway.
I was definitely captured. I remember it. It's becoming clear.
I'm sorry.
No, please.
I have a memory that I never talked about, where I was captured and impregnated. This was long, 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 long ago. And you know how they talk about the race of a giant, or, you know, it's quite convoluted with the information, but I distinctly remember being taken, and being pregnant, but not coming to full term because the offspring was so large. It came out of my stomach and I died. I bled to death.
So that's the trauma of Alien. That's exactly, you know, that's the plot of Alien, isn't it?
Right.
I bet you were triggered. What happened when you first saw that film?
I didn't see that film.
You've never seen it?
No.
Oh. Trigger alert.
Part of my,
trigger part of alert. My, okay.
No, I think is it with Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah, I mean, basically the guy gets, there's a baby alien gets laid, his egg gets laid in this guy. it kind of sticks to his face and then it impregnates him somewhere and it bursts out of his stomach. And, you know, most people, most of us who are watching, hearing this will know that meme.
This was more genetic.
Yeah, this is more like a regular, yeah.
The way
that reptilians are famed for raping and pillaging through the galaxy. Like a kind of bunch of Klingons, really. So.
But it felt like it was, a nefarious, giant, human group that was working alongside with the reptilians or with a negative side, with the regressives.
So this could be a time-traveling Nordic. Like an Aldebaran, couldn't it?
I don't want to use a Nephilim word because... Mm-hmm.
But you just did. So there we go. So it's just what you call a Nephilim. Now, see, the thing is, what we need to do is nail down these biblical terms, which put everybody into this kind of mystical, I don't know what you're talking about now, state, and like really nail it down. These people are from bloody Aldebaran. They're not that far away. It's that big shining star, and they're bastards. They're beautiful, tall, blonde, beautiful, but bastards. They're the worst evil in the world. In the solar system, really. No, not the solar system. What do you call it? Local sector, I suppose. Anyway, we haven't got that much time left. To kind of go really out there, but there are these other races that have what they call gone rogue, or they got infected by the AI, really. There's a whole kind of melange of different time slice trajectories. There's the trajectory. Oh, God, what am I saying? It's really hard to describe. I'm trying to imagine like a great big pudding made of meringue that you kind of poke a chopstick through at different places. You know, you make these holes through time itself as we're moving through it. And, you know, we go into ruts and we get diverted. Oh, what am I talking about? We're talking about being able to heal that part of us, right? Let's not complicate it with why it happened. Because what's really important is that we heal the feeling of being disconnected. Because this last 2 hours, if you go back, open back, remember, you'll hear it. This is the story of our initial disconnection. This is our racial birth trauma. And in the last week, I've been feeling it viscerally, as have you all. As have you all, and probably everybody's been crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. And if you haven't, you're a psychopath and you deserve to die. Okay? Right. Okay. So, because if you can't feel this shit, then, you know, what the heck are you listening to this show for? Really? And really, I think, you know, hands up, who hasn't had a terrible, I wouldn't say this is a terrible week. It's
emotional.
It's very emotional. Very, very emotional. Like ocean emotion. Bucket emotions. Buckets of tears. Not just the odd drop down the cheeks. You know, I've been crying for like 8 hours a day. I've been like having sessions with people and for 8 hours a day, you know, like people are talking to me constantly and hearts are being shared and tears are flowing. And healing is happening, and it's been working beautifully, and so it continues to work beautifully. So we're at the end of the show, so I'd like to thank everybody for stepping up.
Thank you, JP.
Thank you
all. This was Ever Beyond. This is Wolf Spirit Radio. There the hell it is. Thank you. This was Wolf Spirit Radio. No, this was Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio, Tier Nassau and Wolf Spirit Radio. Stay tuned for healings and meditations. Thank you very much.
beyond.